I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Cougars by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts,
Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. Home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back in to Cougar Sports Saturday here as we're getting going in hour number one of the show. And we've been talking about that transfer rule. And, man, we just had a good-spirited argument, which I'm sure will continue. But we've got to put that argument on hold for just a minute and get out to the phone line and welcome in KSL TV5's Dave McCann to join the show. Dave, thanks for spending some time with us.
Hey, it's great. It's an honor to be right out of the gate, so thank you.
No problem. Hey, let's just start with the big news of the week. The one-time transfer exception has been granted by the NCAA, meaning they are eligible one time when they transfer. Do you think this will help or hurt BYU, Dave?
Well, I think it helps because it means Puka Nacua will be on the field against Arizona on September 4th, and in the starting lineup, most likely. So I think it's good there. I kind of like it. You look at all the coach movement that we've seen, and I think it gives the players a little freedom to leave, too, and not be penalized. A coach doesn't get penalized when he leaves. He gets a raise unless he's fired. And so I think it allows the player who's in Logan to play for Craig Smith. Craig Smith leaves. They get an opportunity to go somewhere else and not have a sit-out type penalty before they can continue their college career. So it's different. It changes the game from the game we used to know, but that's no longer the game. This is the game now, and so this is the first real taste of the transformation of college basketball as we move forward, and football for that matter.
And Dave, you mentioned Puka Nacua. I wanted to bring him up to you because, I mean, for Cougar fans that are not familiar with him, I think you're right. I think he's going to be someone that's going to make an instant impact. What are your expectations for Puka this fall now that he's cleared and eligible to play?
I think he's going to fit real nice into that offense that can run and hit the tight end and take advantage of what has become an elite, potentially elite receiving core in the country with Sampson and Puka and Gunner, if you're just picking three to start, and then you've got Pau and the others behind him. I think he's going to fit in nicely and bring a burst of speed that we just haven't had for a long, long time. We saw it when he was at Orem High. He's just faster than the others. And I was thinking, when that rule became official, I'm thinking, okay, the first play against Arizona is going to be a receiver screen to him and just let him go. And then after I was looking at all the offensive linemen coming back with their experience, I'm thinking maybe they'll go off tackle to Algier. But you got two really good options to start the game. But I think Puka brings some creativity to what they can do at the receiving core. They were going to be good anyway at receiver, and they were really good at receiver last year. He just brings that extra element, and the beauty of it is he brings 3 years with him. And so it's going to be fun to watch him settle in and get going.
We're joined by Dave McCann of KSL TV 5 here on Cougar Sports Saturday. And the one thing we don't know, now that we know that Puka is eligible and Samson will be there as well, is who's going to be throwing these guys the football? And that's going to rage on all summer and into fall camp. We're getting little tidbits of stuff that's happening. What'd you make of seeing Jacob Conover down in Arizona training with Ty Detmer and Max Hall?
He's smart. all of us should have trained down there with those guys. He had the advantage of watching what Zach Wilson did, and why would you not follow that model? And Jake's got 4 years to figure it out. He's in the mix to start against Arizona. I think BYU could play any of those three quarterbacks, and when you look at it, with the receivers we just talked about, and you get Algier and Katoa, they combined for 2,041 yards and 21 touchdowns last season. Now they come back bigger and stronger, and I think what helps the quarterback spot is the guys right up in front of them. Barrington's had 10 starts last year. Empey had 8 starts. Freeland had 8 starts. LeChance played in 11 games. Tukuafu had 4 starts, including the bowl game at center. Hey played in 8 games. Then you got Wake and Wheat, big tight end type bodies, 12 games and 10 games. And Saliapaga is back with 23 games of experience. And we're losing Brady Christensen and a couple of the others. I hear a lot of questions but about the line. It's all about the line. This offensive line might actually be the strength of this offense. And that bodes very well for which of the three quarterbacks is sitting right behind them and the running back behind them, and then those receivers scattered out there. There is a reason why when you ask Kalani how he feels about the team, he smiles first, and then he answers.
Dave, do you feel like Aaron Roderick is in a spot where he can't go wrong with this quarterback decision? Because I feel like these three quarterbacks, Hall, Romney, or Conover, I feel like BYU could have a pretty successful year with any one of them. I mean, how would you kind of assess what type of decision lays in front of Roderick coming up this fall?
Well, I think you're right. I think if the game were tomorrow, well, it'd be Sunday, so it'd be unprecedented. We'd be talking about something else. But if the game was Monday, I think it would be Bayer Romney. And I would be perfectly comfortable with him on the with that group of talent. Because he executes, and Hall executes and brings a run element, and I think Conover brings a little bit of everything. So if the game were Monday night, I would be perfectly comfortable with Romney. The game's September 4th, and I'd be very comfortable with a freshman at quarterback who's beaten out the other two with that talent around him. In years past, the quarterback would have to go out and be brilliant. But he does not have to be brilliant this fall. He has to be efficient. And one thing Zach did, which was really, really good, and again, as we had these conversations last year, wondering if we were going to even have a fall, we're talking about who's going to be the starting quarterback. And it wasn't a given that it was going to be Zach. We figured it probably would be, but he had to win that job. But if you just look at what Zach did in executing the offense and taking care of the football, not turning it over compared to Zach from the year before or the year before, that's how you become a number two overall draft pick. And that's the model. Don't turn the football over. Hand it to Algier. Throw it to Rex. Get it to one of the Nakuas or Romney and be protected by that big offensive line. So as far as offense, this is winning football, and I think the sky is the limit. If I could get a ticket, if I'm a BYU fan and I could get anywhere close to Allegiant Stadium in September to see that unfold, I'm there, and it's going to be fun.
How sweet was that this week to just see tickets just gobbled up in a second, and it just kind of feels like we're trending back towards regular football? And I guess the question to ask would be, what kind of scene are you expecting down in Vegas, and also along those lines, what kind of performance do you think we'll see from this team out of the gate in 2021?
Well, I'll tell you, the 3 hours after they went on sale to the public, they were gone for their allotment of 12,000, which is like a bowl allotment. And then more tickets go on sale on April 27th to the general public. I don't know what Arizona's doing with their ticket, but their last game, they got beat by 70 points, and they fired their coach. So Allegiant Stadium is ripe for a complete BYU takeover. very similar to when we were all down in Glendale when BYU played Arizona a few years back. Back when the freshman kicker game winner, and now he's back as a sophomore 5 years later. So that's a whole other side story
yes.
that we've talked about before. Got to love all this COVID stuff. But but I think the scene will be very similar to when Taysom Hill took the field against Arizona in Glendale, and they ran right past me. I think Alex Keery was down there with me. They ran right past us, and the place just erupted. And I remember watching the Arizona fans who were just to my right turn their head and look around and wonder how in the world all these BYU fans showed up in Arizona for what they thought was going to be their home game. And I think Vegas is going to be twice that. I think BYU fans are nuts. They bought 12,000 tickets. They haven't bought 12,000 tickets to a football game since what, 2019? And that would have been a home game. So, like you said, Matt, the excitement in buying tickets and making plans, and I love the fact that Vegas is selling them as opposed to, well, we'll just put 2,000 out, we'll put 1,000 out. They put them all out as far as what the schools are allotted, and then the Raiders fans who have season tickets get first dibs. And so expect a lot of those tickets to come back and be made up for the general public. So I think it's going to be great. I know BYU TV, we're going to be down there, and it's going to be like the Super Bowl, a more of a celebration of life, I think. But, hey, we're all back, and this is kind of how it used to be, and BYU's coming off a season that was among the best in the entire country. They sent a guy in the top of the NFL draft. The NFL Pro Day was off the charts here. For as tough of a year as it's been, it could not have been better under those circumstances for this football program. And now they march in with some momentum. So I think it's going to be exciting.
It's going to be a lot of fun. BYU definitely did win. They were a big winner amidst this pandemic, it feels like. And Zach Wilson maybe is the biggest winner of anyone in all of college football and coming up in the NFL in a few weeks with the NFL draft. Have you made peace, Dave, with the thought that Zach's going to be going to the Jets? Because I think all Cougar Nation felt like the Niners was the perfect spot, but are you coming around to having Zach in the green for the Jets?
You know, I just love when BYU graduates go out there and sign for $35 million for their first job out of school. So I'm all for it. I thought if he went to the Niners, because they were in a position, and we saw him trade up to get to number three, so they were in a position of where that would be possible, and the Jets hadn't decided what they're going to do with Darnell. But I think the Niners are built for the right quarterback can get them to the Super Bowl. The Jets are built with they got to get the right quarterback, then they got to get 10 more good players on offense and 11 more good players on defense to have a chance. So that's kind of how I thought, hey, Zach can go there and win right away. He's going to go to the Jets and rebuild. But the pressure, you know, he's not going to the Giants. There's a weird thing about pressure in New York between the Giants and the Jets. The Jets have been bad for so long that I think if he goes and could show some signs of life while he learns, and if he can stay alive, you know, he can win over that city with his smile and how he handles the media and his skill set while they're pounding on the Giants because they're not going to be very good. And then play out your rookie contract and then go to a team that can contend. So it's not like a prison sentence where you're going to the Jets for your whole career. But you're going to start there, and they're going to make you a millionaire many times over. And the pressure won't be, hey, why didn't we get to the Super Bowl after the first season, which I think it might have been at San Francisco. We just have a chance to see more San Francisco games out in this market. Yeah. And I can't tell you the last time the Jets have been on TV in Utah. So we might have to get the football packages or something.
You can follow him at Dave McCann KSL. And we always appreciate you stopping by. We love talking to you, Dave. And thanks. We wish you a wonderful Saturday.
Thank you. We're just one Saturday closer. That's every time we get together, we're just one day closer to seeing what we love out on the football field. So my pleasure. Have a great weekend.
Take care, Dave. Amen to that. All right, we'll take a break here in Cougar Sports Saturday. We'll be back after this.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.